Have you ever woken up early to watch the sunrise? I think there's just something so amazing about watching it arise above the horizon. Now, for those who know me, you know that I'm not a morning person, and in fact, I'm quite the opposite. But there is and has been a few occasions where I have chosen to woke up to watch that sunrise. And every time I do it, I never regret it. There's something about it that it's just that crisp morning air. It's the beauty of the colors painted across the sky. It's almost as if we've been hardwired to crave seeing sunrises and sunsets. It's as if God has orchestrated it in such a way that it's not just beautiful, but there's a story behind it. I mean, look back over my shoulder here. You can see the city that surrounds the church. There's trees, there's mountains. The colors are going to start to fill the sky. But I don't just film this message up here for us today just because it looks beautiful. We're doing this because of the Easter story. Now, many of us are very familiar with the Easter story. Some of us, not so much. But there's a little known fact, maybe something that is commonly overlooked, which is that the Easter story on Sunday, what we call Resurrection Sunday, begins at the break of dawn. Now, Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and we remembered that just a couple days ago, the day where Jesus died upon the cross, where his being our substitute was accomplished. There, he took the weight of the sin upon his shoulders, the sin of the whole world, the sins of you and I, and he died. But why were things such a rush? Because the Sabbath was approaching. The Sabbath day is a day in the Jewish tradition where there is no possibility of doing work, let alone handling a dead body. So after Jesus was for sure dead, they lifted his body off the cross. They quickly wrapped him in cloths and laid him in his tomb. And there he would wait until Sunday, when a few of his followers could rush to the tomb to prepare his body for burial. It's the hot Middle Eastern sun at that time of year, and surely the body would start to stink if they couldn't prepare it properly. And so Friday night passed. Saturday, a day of mourning occurred. But then Sunday, on Sunday morning at sunrise, something different occurred. If you've got a Bible, I'd invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And there we'll see the start of the Easter Sunday story. We read here Matthew's account of the women who followed Jesus coming to the tomb in the dark at the crack of dawn, prepared for something, but experiencing something altogether different. Let's read Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. It says, after the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled it back and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women, they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly there Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, they clasped his feet, they worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Can you imagine this? I mean, it's first thing in the morning, it's dark, you're traveling with this small group of friends to go do a task that you are familiar with, but you're doing so as you're grieving. And suddenly, as you approach the tomb, the ground begins to shake. There's this earthquake. But it's not just this earthquake, but there appears a figure, bright and shining like lightning, it says. And then this unknown voice says to you, "Do not be afraid." I mean, yeah, right? Do not be afraid. But the voice says, don't be afraid, because there's some good news that's occurring. The voice goes on to say, the person you are looking for, the one that you seek, Jesus who was crucified, he's not here. Come on in and see. And they go in, they look inside the tomb. He's not there. It's just as he said. He would not be there 3 days later. He told us that he would rise again. So quickly, these ladies, they run off to tell Jesus' other followers the incredible news, something that they just simply could not believe. And then, as much as that seemed so incredible, so overwhelming, such wonderful news, there as they run along the road, right in front of them, is Jesus. Overwhelmed. They worship him. They praise him. I'm sure they're just going from tears of mourning to tears of joy. They went from mourning to joy because Jesus is alive. And from that moment, on the first Easter morning, the greatest news that has ever come to pass was told. At the first light, at the beginning of a new day. When you think about that day, it wasn't like every day that had come before. It's not like every day that has come to pass since, because on that day, something happened for the very first time. A new opportunity for life, for an eternity spent with a good and loving God of light. As I said, Good Friday was that day where Jesus went to the cross to die for you and for me. It's the day where he became that substitute for us, where he took on the weight of the sin of the world. Then Saturday passed, but then on Sunday, oh, that wonderful Sunday, Jesus proved that everything he had ever taught, everything he had ever done, it was real, it was true. He was not foolish, he was not a liar, but instead he was the God who was victorious above everything. Even that which had never been defeated before, which was death. You know, as Jesus traveled, before all this occurred, he would use this imagery, this metaphor about who he was and what he was on earth to accomplish. He would tell people, "I am the light." In the Gospel of John, we see that he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus truly was and truly is the light of the world, and he came to defeat spiritual darkness. And this is a darkness that we all face. If you don't yet know and follow Jesus, I want you to know today on Easter Sunday that there is an opportunity for you to experience the radiance, the warmth that comes from knowing Jesus. Whether you've ever thought about it or not, there's a reality that we all face without Jesus in our life, and it is that we are in that spiritual darkness. Scripture tells us, Jesus told us, that when we go about our life without him, we are bound to fail. We're bound to go astray. We are going to miss, because God has this perfect, this glorious standard for who he is. He's perfection. He's love. He's perfect. He's always right. He's always just. He's always good. But we can't make that. You know, we can be pretty good people, but we're bound to fail. We just can't possibly achieve the level that God is at. And so we go amiss, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes in full-on acts of rebellion. All those things are what the Bible calls sin. And Scripture teaches us, Jesus taught us that sin has a cost to it. And that cost is that there would be a penalty of death, a penalty of separation from the God of light, which means an eternity of darkness. But God was not satisfied, so he himself came as the person of Jesus to live a life, a good, perfect, blameless, wonderful life, so that he could go to the cross to die in our place, to pay the penalty for the sin that we have accrued the debt of. And he said, the only thing that it will now cost you is to put your faith and trust in me, because I have paid it all. That's the good news of the Easter story. That's the wonderful news of that dawn day rising. It's the picture that we can experience light and overcoming darkness. The question is, do you want to receive it? Are you there? Are you prepared to experience? Well, let me tell you, I believe that you should, because there is so much that comes with receiving not just the forgiveness of our sins, but life with Jesus in its wholeness. If you read the words of the Apostle Paul, someone who went against Jesus and his followers, then turned and changed their life to experience, he writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Coming to faith in Jesus is life-changing. It brings a newness, a freshness to life. It changes your life quite literally. I know that it changed mine. Today, you might be listening to the Easter story for the first time or 50th time. And you know what? You've come to this place where you have yet to receive Jesus. I'd urge you not to let it pass today. Don't let this offer that he has graciously given slip by you just because of a what if or a maybe. Perhaps you're not quite there yet. Maybe you're wrestling with, what could this look like? I'm intrigued. Maybe there's a little bit that I find compelling about Jesus. Well, then what I'd encourage you to do is keep exploring that. Lean into that. I'd invite you to join with us in what we're doing on Sunday mornings. We're beginning a new series called Life Under the Sun. And in Life Under the Sun, we're looking at the different things in life that give meaning, or perhaps they don't. We're going to talk about the places in our life that we continually feel unfulfilled. Maybe the places that we anticipated would give us a wholeness to our life, but there's just now a void left there. We're going to talk about our work, our relationships, our money, our education, topics like sex, and all these different things that we seek, and a whole lot more. So join us. Keep coming back. I don't think you'll regret it. If there's any truth to what Jesus claims, to what the Easter story tells us, I believe that it's worth the time in investigating. But if you're sitting there, and you are prepared to receive what Jesus has for you, I'd invite you to take the opportunity right now, wherever you are, and talk to him. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, if we're willing to own up to where we've gone astray, where we've failed God's standard, that he is faithful, that he is just, that he is good, that he will forgive us for anything we ask. And if we put our trust in him as Lord and Savior, if that means if we choose to follow him because we trust that he knows what he's doing, we trust that he's in control, then we will experience new life. Salvation. Now, maybe you don't know what to pray. You don't know what to say. Well, I'd invite you to just pray alongside of me. These aren't magic words. You can say your own, but this is an opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus, to to receive what he's given to you. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Forgive me for where I have done wrong or rebelled against you. Help me now to follow you. Thank you for loving me, for forgiving me. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you took the opportunity to pray that prayer, I'd encourage you to let someone know. One of the great things about the life that we have in Jesus is we don't do it alone. Look at the ladies who went to the tomb. There was a whole gathering of Jesus followers who were there to support them, and they supported one another. Those women had supported the men, and it was just this beautiful picture of community, and we want to continue that. We want to celebrate that by you as you have acknowledged Jesus to tell someone else. Maybe you don't know who else there is to talk to. Well, in that case, I would invite you to contact us here at the church. You can reach out to us by email or by giving us a call. We will make sure that we have someone follow up with you to celebrate with you and to help you figure out how to take your next steps in your life with Jesus. Today is a day of celebration. But you know what? As much as I'm celebrating Easter today, I have a fear for those of us who are already followers of Jesus. I have a fear that this Easter will just pass. It's just going to become one of those Easters where we enjoyed the Easter music and the Easter message, and it just becomes another one of those days. Or worse yet, we'll let everything that's going on in the world supersede the goodness of the story of what it means to experience Jesus each new day. The good news of Jesus wasn't just for us to receive salvation, but it's about a continued and ongoing personal life transformation. The good news of Jesus being alive isn't just for those who have yet to meet him. It's for those of us who follow him to experience him more and more each new day. With each morning comes a new opportunity to grow in our personal walk with Jesus, to grow closer to him. Jesus is alive, and so are you. What are you going to do with that opportunity? In the book of Hosea, we read about these priests who are pleading to God's people, the nation of Israel, and they say, return to God. And with that plea, they give a promise. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, we read, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him, because as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. When we acknowledge God, when we push into a relationship with him, he is as reliable as the sun is at rising. He brings the goodness and freshness like the spring rains that cause our crops to flourish, that cause this place we live to be so beautiful and green. We know how good those things are. And there's this promise from God that if you acknowledge me, that if you come to me, I will be there. You know, I know this season of life right now is super weird. I know that we just feel so unbalanced, so uneasy. I know this is the most unusual experience, this most unusual Easter we've ever experienced. And it might hopefully be the most that it ever is. We're all taking part in social distancing. We're feeling isolated and alone. Many of us are grieving the things that we've lost. The trips that have been canceled, the Easter plans that we had, and traditions that we just couldn't see fulfilled. And there's some health to that. It's good for us to grieve and acknowledge those things in this season. It's good for us to lay those things at the feet of Jesus. But let us not, in this uncertainty, let us not, in this sadness, lose sight of the gift that is before us. There's a gift this Easter that we've never had before. That gift is that all the peripheral stuff in life has gone away. The gift is that the busyness that we experience, all the stuff in our schedule that maybe we've wrestled with, maybe we know that it's not how we should be filling our time, but we just can't seem to get off the treadmill. Well, now it's stopped. Your time, your schedule, it's as open as it's ever going to be. So why not use that? Take that time to experience the fullness of what Jesus would have for you. Take the time to meet him with each new rising sun. Every morning as the sun rises, we have an opportunity before us to make a decision. Especially now with what's going on. Is today just going to be another one of those Groundhog Day sort of moments where I wake up at home and I go through my motions? Maybe it's like the Bill Murray experience where you just try to throw in a few different things and interesting things because you know it's all going to repeat again. Or do you take the time to invite the light that Jesus wants to continue to bring into your life? Do you invite that in? I know for myself that I have been working to take this season as an opportunity to grow in my walk with Jesus. Right now, I've been working on implementing the practice of the Sabbath. The practice of the Sabbath is to set apart a day each week which is dedicated to worshiping God, both directly and in celebrating and enjoying the things that he has provided for us. And you know what? I have to tell you, this is one of the most wonderful things that's happened to me. It's been this opportunity. I feel closer to God than I have in a long time. And you know what? It's a little bit shameful for me to say that it's not something that I've practiced regularly. And now I'm realizing how much I've missed out. Because not only am I growing deeper in my walk with God, but it's improving my family life. Not only is it improving my family life, but my stress and my anxieties are decreasing because I'm recognizing the power and glory of God in everyday situations. I'm not saying that suddenly everything is magical, wonderful, perfect, but I am saying it is so much better. I'm saying that my life is being changed from the inside because of Jesus' light dawning. So won't you consider the gift that's in front of you? Won't you consider leaning in to what God has for you today? Don't let this day be another day that passes like every other, but continue to experience the power and light of the resurrection in your life. Finally, as we think about the power that that day had for salvation, the power that that day has for personal life transformation, let us not forget that because of what Jesus accomplished, there is now a purpose and a mission for our lives. If we go back to Matthew chapter 28, we see that when Jesus returned, he told the women to gather the rest of the disciples and they headed to a mountainside in Galilee, where just as Jesus promised, once again, he delivered. But he came to meet with them to provide them this instruction. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, we read this, that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now some did doubt, but Jesus came to them and he said this. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." We are called not just to receive a salvation, which is a wonderful gift. We're not called just to take more and more of Jesus just for the personal life transformation, which we absolutely should. but we are also called to a life of purpose and of mission. We're called to partner with God in bringing more of His light to the world, in bringing more people to come and know and obey the truth of who Jesus is and what He can mean for their lives. So what are you going to do with this day and the one that is to come tomorrow? It's Easter. Let's let a new day dawn in our lives and experience and share with others the wonderful light of the person of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for yet another day of your power and your presence that is there for us to experience. God, we thank you that you, that day all those years ago, conquered death. You had victory over our sin, that you paid the price for us so we could experience you. God, for all those who are watching this message who, God, they don't know you yet, but they know that there is a darkness. They know that there is an unsettledness in their spirit. God, would you help them to come to know you? Would you put people in their path who they could share with them, who could talk with them, who they can ask questions of so that they can experience the fullness of a life with you? God, for those of us who know you, I pray that you would just give us those daily reminders. Would it even be every morning as we wake up and look at the sunrise or the bright new day? Would we know that we can experience more of your resurrection power, that we can experience more of the goodness that comes from life with you? And then would we go out every day intentionally to bring your light to the world? God, we need you for that, but we know that you've promised us and you've never failed that you will be with us till the end of the age. And so, God, we invite more of that today. And God, we pray through all these things that you would be brought glory, that you'd be brought honor, that you'd be brought praise, because you deserve it all. So we pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.